You're listening to the Hour of the Time. We're not on satellite, ladies and gentlemen, so if you tried to get us on satellite and you could not find us there, I don't know what's happening, but we were unable to get up on satellite, so we're going through the phone lines to WWCR, and we'll hash that out with satellite people later, whatever the problem is. Tomorrow night on the Tom Valentine Show, Aaron Russo will be the guest. Don't miss it. Maybe he can straighten some of those people out. I was listening a little bit tonight, and I'm telling you right now, if all this Jewish stuff and Christian stuff and black stuff and Aryan stuff and atheist stuff and homosexual stuff doesn't stop, and if we don't all learn to become Americans, I can tell you right now, this country is history. You'll never put it back together. You'll never make it work. Man will never be free on the face of this earth again, not in any of our foreseeable future. I can tell you that for sure. It's got to stop right now. We're either Americans or we're not. And if we're not, let's quit playing this silly, stupid game and let the New World Order have it. Because if it doesn't stop, that's exactly what's going to happen anyway. It doesn't matter how hard you fight, or how long you call yourself a patriot, or what the Constitution says. A broken egg doesn't last long, folks. It spoils real quick. Turns into a putrid pile of stinking, messy, rotten crap. If you're an Afro-American, go back to Africa. If you're a Jew instead of America, an American, get your butt over to Israel. If you're a white Aryan supremacist, I don't know where you can go. Go to England, go somewhere, but get the hell out of this country. We better, real quick, become Americans. Because if we don't, the only nation in the history of the world that has ever set man free is going to be history. If Humpty Dumpty's fallen off the wall, if he's broken into a million pieces, and all the king's horses and all the king's men can't put him back together again, then let's quit pretending. Let's stop all this crap. Let's tear all this patriot stuff up and throw it in the trash can with the Constitution and let the New World Order have its day in court.
Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road.
Which way do we go?
Pardon me. That way is a very nice way.
Who said that? Don't be silly, Toto. Scarecrows don't talk.
It's pleasant down that way, too.
That's funny. Wasn't he pointing the other way?
Of course, people do go both ways.
Why, you did say something, didn't you?
As public and political outrage over Louis Jolyon West's proposed Violence Research Center peaked in 1974, events began occurring that alarmed California's white middle class, and which, not so incidentally, might well have kindled public demand for such facilities. Some of the most widely publicized of these events were crimes conducted by the Symbionese Liberation Army, known as the SLA, who rose to notoriety when they kidnapped Patricia Hearst, daughter of wealthy establishment media mogul Randolph Hearst of the Hearst newspaper chain. The revolutionary activities, ladies and gentlemen, of the SLA held many Californians in a constant state of fear throughout the period from 4th February 1974, the date of Patty Hearst's kidnap, to 18th September 1975, the date of her arrest. What you heard last night, what you're hearing tonight, is what you are subject to all the time. Control, manipulation, mind control. Propaganda. Pit you against each other. So that you can't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. And if you can't, it's all over. So you better listen very closely. First, the SLA murdered a popular school headmaster in Oakland and warned of a coming racial war between blacks and whites. Then the previously respectable Patty Hearst became a participant in their urban guerrilla warfare, which included such acts as armed bank robbery. Remember Charles Manson? What was he preaching? There's going to be a war between blacks and whites. Now tonight I hear between whites and Jews, between Christians and Jews, between blacks and Jews. What's the matter with you people? Meanwhile, the public were fed speculative articles by the media suggesting that the Marxist Symbionese Liberation Army must have been brainwashing Hearst into participating in such antisocial acts. With the memory of the gruesome Manson murders, also replete with brainwashing and race war claims, still strong in the public mind, and Manson came out of the California prison system, overseen by Ronald Reagan, the one you all love so much. The effect of the message being broadcast was loud and clear. If you got mixed up with a cult who practiced brainwashing, it might be you who could be enticed into participating in antisocial acts. On the 17th of May, 1974, the Los Angeles Police Department surrounded the Symbionese Liberation Army's headquarters located in a small bungalow on the south side of the city. And although there were known to be only six individuals inside, only six, shades of Waco, the Los Angeles PD brought in 150 police officers, 100 Federal Bureau of Investigation agents, 100 sheriff's officers, around 15 highway patrolmen, and 25 motorcycle officers to control traffic. Six people in that bungalow. This must have been the biggest collection of pussies in the history of the world. Television news crews and their cameras arrived, set up their live network feeds, and then bang, in the middle of the primetime dinner hour on a Friday night, around 5,000 rounds of ammunition from automatic rifles, pistols and machine guns, as well as tear gas grenades and a barrage of noise from the police megaphones, put an end to this black Marxist terrorist left-wing brainwashing threat to democracy. The operation was labeled by the establishment media as the greatest single shootout in Los Angeles history. And the public were led to believe that they had just been saved from one of the most threatening, subversive political cults America had ever seen. And how did they put an end to these people? Why, they burned them to death. Burned them to death. Sound familiar? It should. In reality, folks, the Symbionese Liberation Army consisted of just 9 people in the whole world, with very little power, but as had been demonstrated throughout the previous decades, a healthy dose of psychological warfare could readily ensure that ordinary people remained in a perpetual state of fear over the threat of lone gunmen, screaming to have the people disarmed and to give up their rights protected by the Constitution in order to be protected. That's right, folks, protected by the federal government. See the bird flying around in the air. Realize that there are hawks and eagles and maybe even an occasional duck hunter. And so the bird, screaming for safety, was put in a cage in a room. And the bird, oh yes, the bird is safe. Yes, the bird is safe. The hawks, the duck hunters, the eagles, the weather, nothing can hurt that bird now. A perpetual state of fear over the threat of lone gunmen, rioting blacks, Jews, terrorists, political activists, and manic cult figureheads, and make them demand tough new laws and government initiatives to bring such antisocial elements under control. See, what do you think that ad in the New York Times was really all about, you sheeple? And it worked, didn't it? Because for the last 2 hours, that's all you've been hearing about. Oh, yes. You see, I sit here and I watch the world go around and I listen to all this stuff and I read all this stuff and I look how people react and I listen to them down at Katie's Country Kitchen as they talk about each other and everything else. And you know something? Makes me really not want to be a part of this world or even this country or any part of it. You know, y'all really make me pretty sick most of the time. The stupidity is pathetic. It's beyond pity. It's incredible. The Jews are huddled in their homes because their leaders tell them that they're threatened by anti-Semite Gentiles who want to drag them out and put them through the ovens just like Hitler was supposed to have done. Boy, it works really well. This dangerous psychological warfare practice continues hour by hour, day by day, week by week, month by month, and year by year. With the aid of disturbing and endless media coverage of cases like that of Jeffrey Dahmer. Oh, don't you know there's a serial killer waiting around the corner to get you? David Koresh? Oh, he was a religious fanatic. Don't let the religious fanatics get you. O.J. Simpson? Oh, he's a black, isn't he? Be careful, the blacks are going to kill you in your homes. Even if he appears to be well-educated and popular, doesn't matter, and so on, and so on, and so on, and so on. Why is the trial of one man out of 260 million Americans on television day after day after day after day, monopolizing the news and the talk shows and everything else? It's to scare you, sheeple. Oh, watch out. The wolf is behind you. It's going to get you. at the media circus that was thinly disguised as the trial of Patty Hearst, it was none other than Dr. Louis Jolyon West, who was called to give expert testimony on whether or not she had been brainwashed by the SLA's leader, Donald DeFries. A man who had been a participant in one of Dr. Louis Jolyon West's prison mind control operations in the California State Prison System. In her autobiography entitled Every Secret Thing, Hearst gave an interesting account of her examination sessions with West, and she wrote this, and I quote, "When the first of the psychiatrists came to see me on September 30th, just 11 days after my arrest, I simply crumbled under his scrutiny. I cried, murmuring and mumbling out replies that were not answers to his questions, and he thought I was refusing to cooperate with him." This was Dr. Louis Jolyon West, chairman of the Department of Psychiatry at the University of California, Los Angeles, director of the Neuropsychiatric Institute, psychiatrist-in-chief of UCLA hospitals, a licensed medical doctor, chairman of the Council on Research and Development of the American Psychiatric Association, psychiatric consultant to the Air Force, author of books and studies on prisoners of war, and internationally recognized expert in his field. I thought he had a creepy, hypnotic voice. A tall, heavyset man who appeared to be kindly, I suspected jolly of being too smooth, too soothe to be trusted, end quote. Hearst later commented, "Dr. West, I thought, was inordinately interested in the sex that went on within the SLA, particularly in the lesbian relationships," end quote. So she refused to cooperate. West also called in Dr. Martin Orney, who was introduced to Hearst simply as a psychiatrist, but whom we know today as having been the head of the Office of Naval Research's Committee on Hypnosis, and who helped develop the coercive use of hypnotic mind control. Hearst reported that she thought him very strange. Some of his questions were most extraordinary. He acted or commented as though he did not believe a word I was saying. Whilst conducting research for the CIA's MKUltra behavior modification program and being supported by the documented CIA funding fronts, the Society for the Investigation of Human Ecology, and the Scientific Engineering Institute, Dr. Orney wrote papers that included one entitled, quote, "Hypnotically Induced Hallucinations," end quote, which was subsequently published in 1975 in a collection co-edited by West entitled Hallucinations, Behavior Experience, and Theory. And the paper, Orney states, "Even in present-day America, when an individual hears God speak to him, it is a toss-up whether he will become a successful leader of a new religious sect or will come to the attention of a psychiatric unit." Incredible. Absolutely incredible. And the American people fall for this. In fact, the people of the world fall for it. Another psychiatrist to conduct pretrial medical examinations on Patty Hearst was Dr. Robert J. Lifton of Yale University. Author of several major works on coercive persuasion and thought reform techniques, and another of the Cult Awareness Network's stable of regular consultants. Lifton pronounced Hearst a classic case, which met all the psychological criteria of a coerced prisoner of war. Margaret Sanger, who had previously worked with Lifton at the Walter Reed Army Hospital on a study of Chinese behavior modification techniques, was also called in by West to conduct a battery of tests on Hearst. She concluded that Hearst was sad, hopeless, withdrawn, emotionally distressed, and expressing a silent cry for help. In 1989, in the case United States versus Fishman, Margaret Sanger's testimony regarding the alleged brainwashing techniques employed by religious political groups against their members was dismissed by Judge D. Lowell Jensen, who stated, quote, "Although the record before the court is replete with declarations, affidavits, and letters from reputable psychologists and sociologists who concur with the thought reform theories propounded by Dr. Singer and Dr. Offshey. The government has submitted an equal number of declarations, affidavits, and letters from reputable psychologists and sociologists who disagree with their theories. A more significant barometer of prevailing views within the scientific community is provided by professional organizations such as the American Psychological Association, APA, and the American Sociological Association, ASA. The evidence before the court, which is detailed below, shows that neither the APA nor the ASA has endorsed the views of Dr. Singer and Dr. Offshey on thought reform. At best, the evidence establishes that psychiatrists, psychologists, and sociologists disagree as to whether or not there is agreement. They disagree whether or not there is agreement regarding the Singer-Offshey thesis. The court, therefore, excludes defendants' preferred testimony. I told you a long time ago, folks, that psychology is a bogus science. It's not science at all. In fact, it's total bullshit. And most psychologists are sicker than those that they pretend to treat. At one time, I don't know if it's still true now, but at one time, psychologists as a profession had the highest suicide rate in the nation and probably the world. Now, this was not the first time Singer's theories had been rejected. In 1986, Singer had initiated and headed a task force on deceptive and indirect methods of persuasion and control for the American Psychological Association's Board of Social and Ethical Responsibility for Psychology. Have you ever seen anything in your life with such a long name? And what does it mean? Let me tell you that again so you'll know. Methods of Persuasion and Control for the American Psychological Association's Board of Social and Ethical Responsibility for Psychology. The task force produced a 69-page report which openly attempted to make the Cult Awareness Network's definitions of cults, brainwashing, etc., official APA usage. On the 11th of May, 1987, the APA officially rejected the report, stating, BSERP is unable to accept the report of the task force. In general, the report lacks the scientific rigor, this is a quote, folks, I forgot to say that, and even-handed critical approach necessary for APA imprimatur. The board cautions the task force members against using their past appointment to imply BSERP or APA support or approval of the positions advocated in the report. BSERP requests that task force members not distribute or publicize the report without indicating that the report was unacceptable to the board, end quote. Nearly 20 years after the Hearst trial, the theories espoused by Dr. Singer and her fellow Cult Awareness Network consultants have still not gained the support of the wider medical community, and yet they are regularly paraded before the public, the government, law enforcement agencies, and the courts as experts on the behavior of cults. Whose experts, I might ask? Why, their own, for they're not recognized as experts by anyone else in the medical profession, in the profession of psychology or psychiatry, whose professions are dubious anyway, or in the sociologist community, or anywhere else for that matter. They are touted as experts solely and only by themselves. Now, one could conclude, ladies and gentlemen, that there is nothing unusual about three national security establishment-linked behavior modification specialists, all who had been involved in a CIA mind control experiment called MK Ultra, examining Patty Hearst and later joining forces to fight for personal freedom as they have with the Cult Awareness Network. However, if you keep digging, you will quickly discover that in both the case of the Symbionese Liberation Army kidnapping of Patty Hearst and the Jonestown Massacre, the revolving door syndrome is clearly at work. In other words, the people offering to put out the blaze are sleeping with the people who lit the fire in the first place. You see, funding for West's Violence Research Center was raised by the Californian Health and Welfare Agency's HEW Secretary, Dr. Earl Bryan. He garnered considerable support from the United States Law Enforcement Assistance Administration, or LEAA, and if you've read my book, you know who they are, an organization that, as has been revealed during congressional civil rights investigations, had funded 537 research projects dealing with medical procedures such as psychosurgery, non-surgical behavior modification techniques, and drugs for the control of delinquency. HEW also funded a large number of further behavior modification programs, both directly and through its sub-agency, the National Institutes of Mental Health. It has also been revealed in classified documents that the LEAA acted as a front for the Central Intelligence Agency behavior modification experiments conducted during the MKUltra program. What took these people so long to find this out? I wrote about it in my book years ago. During MKUltra, tests were conducted on unwitting and poorly informed citizens, prison inmates, as I have revealed many, many times, and servicemen. Many of them veterans in veterans' hospitals used for experimentation without their knowledge or their consent. Using psychoactive drugs, hypnosis, sensory deprivation, electroconvulsive therapy, electroshock treatment, psychosurgery, including frontal lobotomy, deep sleep therapy, biological agents, chemical weapons, harassment substances, brain concussion, stress, electronic brain stimulation, electronic brain implants, electromagnetic radio frequency energy, and many other techniques. They were applied to subjects in any combination that showed promise for influencing or controlling human behavior. No stone was left unturned.
I could while away the hours, conferring with the flowers, consulting with the rain. In my head, I'd be scratching while my thoughts were busy hatching if I only had a brain. I'd unravel every riddle for any individual in trouble or in pain.
With the thoughts you'd be thinking, you could be in motivation if you only had a brain.
Oh, I can tell you why, the ocean's near the shore. I could think of things I never felt before, and then I'd sit and think some more. I would not be just a number, my head all full of suffering, my heart all full of pain. I would dance and be merry, life would be a king of dairy if I only had a brain.
Why, if our scarecrow back in Kansas could do that, the crows would be scared to pieces.
They would?
Hmm.
Where's Kansas?
That's where I live. And I want to get back there so badly, I'm going all the way to Emerald City to get the Wizard of Oz to help me.
You're going to see a wizard?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think if I went with you, this wizard would give me some brains?
I couldn't say.
Won't you take me with you?
Why, of course I...
Bye. Really, I will.
To all?
To all.
We are to see the wizard, the wonderful wizard of Oz. Here is the wizard of wind, if ever a wizard there was. If ever a wizard of wind there was, the wizard of Oz is one because of the wonderful.
Oh, yes, a lot of you people need the wizard. And you need him really quick because you're going off the deep end. You know, if those who want to destroy this country aren't able to do it, you're going to do it for them. I've already determined that. I know it is a fact, and there's not anything that anybody, including me, can do about it. Unless you all put your head back on your shoulders. Take a little trip to Oz and get yourself a brain. You might pay a visit to the wizard at Swiss America Trading, too, and get yourself some real constitutional money. 1-800-289-2646. Do it now. Yep. But remember, the money's not going to do you any good without the brain. And in the future, if those who want to destroy us have their way, and if you don't insist on destroying us before they do, the money won't do you any good. Without the brain, and the brain won't do you any good without the money. So I don't know what to say to you folks. We're sort of at a little impasse here, aren't we? You want to divide the nation up and kill each other because you don't like each other's religion, racial heritage, color of their skin, lifestyle, or anything else. But, of course, you, no matter what you think or believe in, you want to be free. You want all the protections of all the Creator-endowed rights for yourself, but not for anybody else. Oh, no. Yeah, and you think you're going to create a white America. Well, what do you think all these other people that don't agree with you are going to be doing while you're trying to do that? So, it's going to boil down to slaughtering each other. And all the blacks think they're going to have a black America. So, they're going to slaughter anybody that doesn't look like them. And the Jews, oh, they want an international America. So, they're going to destroy everything, including their own freedom to get it. And the Christians, of course, you can't be an American unless you're a Christian, can you? What's this all leading to? I'll tell you, folks. The end. The end. And it's not being brought about by the Book of Revelations or God. It's being brought about stupid sheeple. Stupid sheeple. Look at all this stuff. And then tell me about your utopian world. Tell me about your white America, your black America, your Christian America, your Jewish America, your American Indian America. They're probably the only people that have a legitimate claim anyway. Tell me, you Orientals, why do you all congregate in little ghettos called Chinatown or Japanese Town or whatever you want to call it? When are you going to learn that we're all Americans? If we don't learn that, there's not going to be an America for another 5 years. And there's not going to be many people in whatever's left anyway, because you're all going to kill each other. I am ashamed. I really am. I'm ashamed. What I hear, what I read, what I see. You all want to give it up for such stupidity. Such illogical, insane bullshit. Thank you.
The good witch of the north sent me.
Prove it. She's wearing the ruby slippers. She's Ava.
Oh, so she is. Look here. Bust my button. Why didn't you say that in the first place? That's the horse of a different color. Come on in.
Not coincidentally, folks, it was during the period of Reagan's tenure as governor of California. You know, Ronald Reagan, the one you all love so much, Red Ronnie. The one who spent more money during his 8 years as president than all of the previous administrations combined in the history of this country. And you say, life was good in the 80s? Yeah, it was. Boy, life would be good in my family, too, if I hocked my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, and their grandchildren, and their great-grandchildren, so that my family today could live really good. Yeah, I'd borrow couple of $100 billion every month. And boy, everybody would remember me as being great too, because I'd throw one hell of a party, boy. I tell you, I'd hire everybody. We'd just live high on the hog. Let somebody else pay for it. Who cares if we can't even pay the interest? You really make me sick sometimes talking about how the years under Reagan were so good for America. Yeah, here old Rush now, sitting on half his brain, telling the world how it was so good under Ronald Reagan. Yeah, it was during the period of Reagan's tenure as governor of California that the LEAA pushed for the development of a national population surveillance computer system within the United States of America. Research and development programs for computer software to run such a surveillance system were funded by the LEAA from at least as early as 1970. All of these things came out of California, folks. And most of the worst of it under Reagan. One of these programs was called the Prosecutor's Management Information System, or PROMIS. Ever hear of that? Some people call it PROMIS. It's really PROMIS. Around that time, anti-Vietnam War protesters were particularly active, and alternative religious organizations were multiplying rapidly. Again, particularly in California. Before serving in Reagan's cabinet, Earl Bryan had been a combat physician involved in Operation Phoenix, the operation that Bobo Gritz was a part of and brags about being a part of. He's so proud of it. And you all say, oh, what a wonderful fellow. He was a part of Operation Phoenix. And you don't even know what it is. dummies. Combat Physician, involved in Operation Phoenix, the Central Intelligence Agency's controversial Vietnam War assassination program. You want to elect a paid assassin to the office of President of the United States of America. And he was a paid assassin during which some of the agency's most bizarre behavior modification field experiments were conducted. You see, Operation Phoenix provided the Central Intelligence Agency with an endless supply of Viet Cong prisoner of war on which to test surgically implanted radio transceivers that had the capacity to transmit data to remotely located computers for electronic tracking purposes and receive signals for behavior modification purposes. Grice is a Trojan horse. I keep telling you that over and over again, and you keep telling me. Aren't we all patriots? Why can't we all get along? You sound like Rodney King. As long as you're stupid, we're never going to get along. And that's a fact. You have no principles, no ideas, no knowledge, no base of experience. You look for what sounds good to you, or for what looks good to you, or what you've been taught to believe, and that's what you go with. And because of that, you're going to get exactly what you deserve. Every time, all the time, every time the merry-go-round goes around, you're going to reach out to grab the brass ring, and you're going to get a cow pie instead. No doubt, it was in Operation Phoenix that Brian became versed in the art of psychological warfare and aware of the potential of widespread computer surveillance to control a target population. Not surprisingly then, folks, in 1974, Brian was adamant that California needed the draconian violence research centers. And when the public and political uproar generated by concerned individuals finally caused the cancellation of the project, Brian's final public statement on the matter was that the decision to cut off funding represented, quote, a callous disregard for public safety, end quote. It's interesting to note that the First People's Temple Party left California for the Jonestown camp in Guyana in early 1974, the very same year the lease on the Jonestown site ran for 5 years, running out just 1 month after the massacre. Good timing, you say? Well, you betcha. The original concept for violence research centers was the brainchild of William Herman, a counterinsurgency expert for Systems Development Corporation. And he also was an advisor to Governor Reagan, who was working out a pacification plan for California. Herman told the Los Angeles Times that a good computer intelligence system would separate out the activists bent on destroying the system, and then develop a master plan to win the hearts and minds of the people. I heard that crap in Vietnam. That's psychological warfare. Herman had also worked with the RAND Corporation, the Stand Research Institute, and the Hoover Center on Violence. He's been named as a CIA agent, is currently serving an 8-year sentence in an English prison for his role in a Central Intelligence Agency counterfeiting operation, and is directly linked to the Iran-Contra affair, according to government records and his own testimony. When Reagan was asked about it, he conveniently could not remember. The London Sunday Telegraph confirmed Herman's CIA connections, tracing them from 1976 to 1986. This information was also revealed at his London trial. The San Francisco Bay Guardian has identified him as an arms dealer working in Iran during the 1980s and has also linked him to the October Surprise. I'll bet you most of you don't even know what that is. Herman's relationship with Earl Bryan allegedly extends from the early 70s through to his current imprisonment. And to all the scandals that Bryan and the Reagan-Bush administrations have been associated with in between, Bryan was himself named by former Israeli intelligence operative Ari Ben Menashe as having been present during the payment of $40 million to the Iranians to stall the release of the American hostages during the October surprise operation, and now you know what it is. And he's also been named by other sources as a CIA agent. And you're just so happy that you put Republicans back in. You don't understand, folks. You need somebody else. Because it don't matter whether it's Republican or Democrat. The end is going to be the same. And if you don't believe that, sit back and watch for a while. In 1970, Herman worked as CIA control officer to Colston Westbrook, a former CIA psychological warfare expert who had served in Vietnam and also advised the Korean Central Intelligence Agency and the Lan Nol regime in Cambodia. Between 1966 and 1969, he was an advisor to the Vietnamese Police Special Branch under the cover of working as an employee of Pacific Architects and Engineers, the firm contracted to construct the 44 interrogation torture centers known as Provincial Interrogation Centers that were erected in Vietnam as part of the Central Intelligence Agency's Phoenix program, a program that Bobo Gritz is so proud to tell you when he stands up and feeds you his line of bologna. And you want to elect him president. Westbrook at the time was in the process of forming the Black Cultural Association at Vacaville Medical Facility. Oh, yes, the alma mater of Charles Manson, Donald DeFries, and many others. Some of them. Have created a hue and cry to take the guns away from the American people. But you don't know any of this because you never ask any questions, you never read anything, you really don't care. Isn't that the truth? You'd really rather not know, wouldn't you? Until they come for you. Or until they kill you. Or kill your children. Or put you in prison. Or make you a slave. Or take one of the two cars out of your garage. And a couple of TV sets out of a couple of the rooms in your homes. Or take half the chicken out of your pot. You don't care, do you? Westbrook at the time was in the process of forming the Black Cultural Association at Vacaville Medical Facility. This is just incredible. A state prison in California. The Vacaville State Medical Facility is also notorious for its long history of behavior control experimentation. As recently as July 1991, the Napa Sentinel reported that three inmates had died as a result of being forced to take behavior modification drugs. So very little has changed. The black organizer of the Black Cultural Association, which was a cover for a pilot behavior modification project, was Donald DeFries. That's right, the same one, the leader of the Symbionese Liberation Army, who between 1967 and 1969 had worked for the Los Angeles Police Department's Public Disorder Unit. He would later become known to the public as the infamous leader of the Symbionese Liberation Army. It was the Central Intelligence Agency psychological warfare expert Colston Westbrook who gave DeFries the name Sink Umtumi, which meant Fifth Prophet. And who designed the Symbionese Liberation Army's intentionally fear-inspiring logo, a seven-headed cobra. No doubt, dear sheeple, it was also Westbrook and his fellow CIA Psywar specialists who helped program DeFries for his starring role as public enemy number one. for the year 1974. Remember that the Branch Davidians came from the Seventh-day Adventist Church, a church that has admitted furnishing subjects for a Central Intelligence Agency mind control experiment called Project Artichoke. And there's much, much more to all of this. So we've already seen that suspicions of Central Intelligence Agency involvement in Jonestown were raised soon after the dubious circumstances surrounding deaths of the 912 men, women, and children whose bodies were recovered. Even before the massacre, however, suspicions that the CIA was using Jonestown as a base for mind control and medical experimentation had led California Democrat Senator Leo Ryan to investigate. And by that time, Ryan had already placed himself in an adversarial position with the CIA. And isn't it coincidental that he was shot and killed during his investigation? Quote, though his style did not change between the California Assembly and the United States Congress, the subject of his investigations did. In California, Ryan had pursued a wide variety of issues, but in Washington he would focus his work on one main topic, the domestic operations of the Central Intelligence Agency. His interest in the CIA became the dominant factor in Ryan's life and his death in Guyana. Just like Congressman McDonald, who was on that airplane that was supposedly shot down while interfering in Russian airspace. None of these things are accidents. Congressman Ryan's concern over the CIA's domestic spy operations was legitimate and well-founded. It had been reported that there were more intelligence agents illegally operating in Ryan's San Mateo County and the adjacent Santa Clara County than in all other parts of the United States combined, Washington, D.C. included. It was not until years later, when such activities were under threat of exposure, that the CIA persuaded Ronald Reagan, Red Ronnie, to amend their charter to sanction what they had been doing for years. But at the time, the CIA was illegally operating in California. It suffices to say that by 1972, when Leo Ryan was first elected to Congress, the CIA operations in his home district were massive, illegal, threatening, and very much out of control, and he focused the spotlight directly upon them, and, of course, he paid the price. Folks, you've been living in Oz for too long. You've been sleeping in the poppy fields. You've gotten away from your roots. You don't know what America is. You don't even know what's happening. You have no idea what a monster we've created under the guise of national security. It's time to go back to the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. It's time to go home. It's time to go to our roots. It's time to understand who we are. It's time to be Americans. If you think there's a better place in this world, go there. If you honestly believe by destroying the only true free country that's ever existed on the face of this earth for some promised unseen utopian world government, then you belong in Oz, and you need to stay there. Good night. I hope that God can find it in his heart to bless us all, but I'm beginning to doubt it very seriously.
Journey into the outer stratosphere. confer, converse, and otherwise hobnob with my brother wizards. And I hereby decree that until what time, if any, that I return, the Scarecrow, by virtue of his highly superior brain, shall rule in my stead, assisted by the Tin Man, by virtue of his magnificent heart, and the Lion, by virtue of his courage. Obey them as you would me.
Thank you. Oh, Tonto, come back! Tonto! I don't know about the
stay with us, then, Dorothy. We all love you. We don't want you to go.
Well, that's very kind of you. But this could never be like Kansas. Any of us will stop wondering what happened to me by now. Oh, Scarecrow, what am I going to do?
Look. Here's someone who can help you.
Can you help me?
You don't need to be helped any longer. You've always had the power to go back to Kansas.
I have.
Then why didn't you tell her before?
Because she wouldn't have believed me. She had to learn it for herself.
What have you learned, Dorothy?
Well, I think that it wasn't enough just to want to see Uncle Henry and Auntie Anne. And it's that if I ever go looking for my heart's desire again, I won't look any further than my own backyard. Because if it isn't there, I never really lost it to begin with. Is that right?
That's all it is. Are you ready now?
Yes. Say goodbye, Toto. Yes, I'm ready now.
Then close your eyes and think to yourself, there's no place like home. There's no place like home.
There's no place like home. There's no place like home.
Wake up, honey.
There's no place like home. There's no place like home.